Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. And I'm reading from the NIV. I'll do a little bit from the message a little later, but just for now. So Jesus is talking to the people. He says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." Now I got to tell you, if there's a passage, a section in the Bible that challenges us to ground our faith, it is Matthew chapter 5, the so-called Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus talking about God's will for our lives. And the moment you start reading this passage, boy, does it challenge you, because it's practical theology and practical looking into the mirror of God's word and saying, so look at your life. This is what God's expectation of your life is, God's purposes are for your life. How do you look when you look in that mirror? Sometimes it's a little scary. Now, Jesus does this because he's trying to help the people of his time. Because just a few verses before this, verses 17 to 20, he talks about the law and the commandments. Because here's the problem. God gave them to help us live our lives. Unfortunately, for people in those days, and often in our day as well, they become rules and regulations, and people are kind of nitpicking on, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to be there, you have to... And all of a sudden, it becomes a huge burden to follow the Lord and love the Lord and be what God wants you to be. So in this wonderful chapter, Matthew 5, Jesus is saying, let me tell you about God's will for your life. Because here's the thing. When you start living according to God's will, it's not laws and rules and regulations. Actually, you will start living life for the first time. You'll experience how God slowly but surely is shaping, building your character. You'll experience how God slowly but surely is changing your attitude of how you live in this world. And you'll see it in every aspect of your life. You see it in what you do and don't do. You'll see it in the way that you speak. You'll see it in the way that you treat other people. You'll see it in the way that you live your life. Because here's the thing about, and can I use this word once, about God's law for our lives. The word law in Greek is the word nomos. And if you go ask what it means in its deepest root, it says it's an influence that compels you to a new action. So God's word, God's law says, here's God's influence in my life. And as God is influencing me, it compels me to say, wow, look at this. Look what God is doing. There should be something new in my life and a new action in my life. And that's where we're going this morning. Because Jesus is going to talk to us in this little passage about two things that can hurt us to be what God wants us to be and to become what God wants us to become in God's purposes. And the first thing that Jesus says is, be careful of the danger of anger. Now, I don't know if I need to talk about anger with us, because right now, my friends, people are angry. Much more angry than I've seen them in a while. People are angry at people. You just go into Sobeys or Zehrs or whatever, and make the mistake of going down the up aisle because you didn't see and didn't think for a second. You will see people giving you the evil eye like something else. I was so used to folks talking when we're standing in line. Now it's kind of, don't move a centimeter, buddy. You come close to me, I'm going to rip your head off. It's really scary. People are angry at the virus. People are angry at each other. People are angry at the government. People are angry at their homes because they're stuck in their homes. And it's really sad. Because being angry doesn't help me become what God wants me to become. Actually, it does something else. Let me read with you again what Jesus says and see how he says this in a very practical way, but also in a scary way. He says, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. So he says, you murder, you will be judged. Now look what he does, and it starts with a big biblical but in verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. See the comparison. Murder, judgment. Angry equals murder. Judgment. Words kill, my friends. That's what they do. That's the thing about anger. Anger is a virus that kills life. And I can live to every little letter of the law, but if I do not control my anger, I am close to missing God's purposes for my life. And you're saying, come on. See, here's the thing. You can go lie in your bed tonight and say, I did all these good things. So I'm fine. I didn't murder anyone. God says, really? Let me ask you, when you were so mean and you lost it on that coworker at work today and you said things that you saw just in their eyes, just that hurt them, what do you think that did? Or when you spoke to your children in that vicious anger and they just kind of walked away to their room and they closed the door and you could hear them crying in that room. See, that's what anger can do. You might not physically kill, but those words, they can make me miss God's purposes for my life. And here's the best example I can give you. Moses. God calls him to take his people from Egypt to the promised land. Moses is in Egypt. He gets so angry at this Egyptian, he kills him in anger. What happens? He misses God's purpose because now he has to flee, go away. People have to stay in the promised land, or not the promised land, in Egypt so much longer because of Moses' mess. At last he comes back. They go out. They get to Mount Sinai. God calls him up. God gives him the 10 words. He comes down. He sees the calf. He's so angry. He breaks the tablets. He has to go right back. Misses God's purpose. Now he has to do it all over himself. The third one was the worst of all. The second time he has to do the rock thing, he is so angry. Instead of talking to the rock, which God told him to do, he whacks the rock with his staff. And God says, because of that, you will not enter into the promised land. That's what anger can do to us. It will make me miss God's purposes for my life. But then Jesus makes it even more practical. He says, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, will come before the council. And anyone who says to his brother and sister, you fool, they might be liable to burn in the fire of hell. That's kind of scary, right? He's talking their language because he says, those Jewish people who speak Aramaic, I often hear you calling each other, Raca, Raca. Do you know what the Aramaic word Raca means? It means you empty-headed fool. He says, and that's what you call each other? And he says, you people who speak Greek, you often call each other, and he uses the Greek, more. Do you know what the word more is? You heard it. Moron. You empty-headed moron. When you do that, God does not look kindly on that. That's why Eugene Peterson translates this beautifully. He says, if you carelessly call a brother idiot, you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, you're on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill. Anger takes me away from God's purposes in my life. And I know we all go through that. Just this past week, I had to talk to myself because that phone was ringing off the hook. And I'm thinking it's people from the congregation that need me. No, it's every time it's someone who wants to come and clean my ducts. And my ducks were not in a row. I was getting livid and wanting to yell at them. And I'm asking myself, and what does God say about that? So here's the thing. We all have these marks in our lives where we've been hurt, scars by someone's anger. And other people are walking around with scars from my anger. Can we take a moment, just where you are? Can we just take a moment and come to God with that and ask God to help us? Can you just, with me, come before the Lord and say, Lord, sometimes I struggle with this anger thing. Sometimes before I think, the tongue just goes and it lashes, and then there are scars. And it hurts me, Lord. Because when I see what it's caused, my heart. But I can't do this alone. So can I ask you, Lord, will you change my heart, oh God? Will you help me to let my heart be like your heart? That instead of anger, you would give grace and love. And a gentle word. Come in this moment, Lord, and just touch us there where we need to be touched, because that's what you do when you come into our lives from the inside out. And will you change that from the inside out? In Jesus' name we ask. But there's a second thing that Jesus says that hurts our relationship with God, that purpose of God that God has with my life. And it goes with the anger. It actually comes from the anger, and it's called grudge. And it's so easy to carry that grudge in our lives. So Jesus says, standing there, and it's such a cool image. He's there in Galilee, standing on the mountain, northern part of Israel. He says, So you have decided you're going to go and you're going to go sacrifice at the altar. But when you get there, you realize that your brother or sister has something against you. Then you better leave it and go back and reconcile with them. Remember January, I spoke a little bit more on this, but it's a bit of a fun moment because they're all north in Galilee. Jerusalem is south. To get from Galilee to Jerusalem would take 3 to 7 days for any of those people. So it's not just, okay, let's go to the altar quickly and do this. No, no, no. They would really have to pack up, do the whole thing. He's kind of talking about the rules and regulations thing. And if people saw them going on the road and they saw them with their ram or their lamb with them, they would think, oh, they're on the way to Jerusalem. They're going to sacrifice, maybe to say thank you, or maybe they've done something and they need to ask forgiveness or God's help with that. But you see, my friends, that's all about religion and a religious place with all the religious stuff. But that's not where faith happens. Faith happens where the rubber hits the road, and that's why Jesus says. So when you get there, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's something that's not good between me and my brother, sister, you say to that ram or that lamb, you just hang on here for a while. I'll see you in another 3 or 7 days. I have to go and fix this first. Eugene Peterson says it beautifully. He says, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and you're about to make an offering, and you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend, and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Jesus says, living God's way, God's purposes, doesn't happen in a building with religious rites. Living God's purposes happens where the rubber hits the road, where my life is changed, and I go and I speak to my brother and sister, and we fix it. And only when I have been able to do that, then can I go back to God. And only then. And then I can fix it with God, because God changes me from the inside out. That's what God's will for my life is, because that's exactly what God did. Instead of being angry, God gave His Son. Instead of bearing a grudge, God put His Son on a cross, and God gave His grace. So Jesus speaks on that mountain and He says, you want to ground your faith? You want to live a faith where the rubber hits the road? You allow God to touch you. And be afraid. Be careful of the anger. Stay away. You take the grudge and you get rid of it and allow God's freedom to come into your life. God's law, that influence that compels you to a different action. May God help you. May God help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father God, thank you again for speaking clearly, speaking into our lives. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you forgive and that you do not speak in anger, but with your love. Teach us then to live the way that you want us to live. Teach us to live in such a way that our faith is an everyday faith that's lived there where we are out in the world. We can't do it on our own. We need your Spirit. We thank you that you do that. Amen.